Thank you, Holland, for that reading. Thank you all for following along. Keep your Bibles open, if you would, to the book of Philippians. We're going to be looking back at chapter 1 as well and kind of get the background of what we read here just a moment ago. I want to continue kind of in what Joe presented last week, some of the words that we should use over the upcoming year, some of the words not to use. Dwight Samuel's not in your vocabulary. That's if you were here at first service last Sunday, you heard that. And no getting even this Sunday. That'll be further down the road. So anyway, but if that saves you from using other words you shouldn't, feel free to. But I thought it'd be good today to look at something that we can focus on for 2016. Something that we can just continue looking toward. We're at a new year, at a new point. It's just simply a day and a calendar turn, and there we are. But it is sort of a good time to refocus and look at some things that possibly we could do better in the upcoming year. The story is once told of the farmer who was very discouraged with his farm, so he decided to sell out and move somewhere else. So he engaged a realtor to look the farm over and prepare a sales ad. But before putting it in the paper, the realtor called and read the proposed ad to him, saying, "See if this meets your approval." Well, the ad spoke of a good location, a well-maintained house, sturdy barns, lush pasture lands, a beautiful pond, fertile soil, and a great view. And the farmer listened carefully, and then he said, "Read that to me again slowly." So the realtor read it again to him. And finally, the farmer said, "No, don't print that ad. I've changed my mind. I've always wanted a place like that, and I'm not going to sell." So, you know, sometimes it's just our focus, isn't it? It's our perspective. It's what we're looking at, what we're looking toward, how we're feeling when we're thinking on certain things. And you see, how you look at something can make a world of difference in how you behave. Ella Wheeler Wilcox stated that same idea when she wrote, "One ship sails east and another west with the selfsame winds that blow. 'Tis the set of the sail and not the gale which determines the way they go." Life is like that. What you pay attention to, what you focus on in life will generally determine the kinds of decisions that you make. The things you decide to do, the directions you decide to go, the people you decide to be around. Paul writes here and gives us some great advice here in this fourth chapter of Philippians, verse 8. And we read part of that just a moment ago, or that was a part of our reading. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." If you're in the men's or women's class on Wednesday night, this is a verse that we're looking at this quarter in the material that we're looking and sharing through the Mousetrap series. A very good verse to go along with that, and one that's good for anyone at any point in their life. And we ought to commit that verse to memory. We're striving to do that in those classes, realizing that today there are so many things going against that verse. There are 8 things listed there. How many of those things do we see as a part of the world today? Many of those things have been set aside. Many of those things are not paid attention to. We see what's on TV. We listen to the radio. We read the newspaper. We read the internet. And it's basically negative. Wrong things. Things that aren't right. Things that aren't pure. And what is Paul saying here? Says, adjust your focus. Adjust your sights. You know, when we read God's Word in order to get it rooted deep in our heart to think the right things, that's what we're to be doing. Psalms 119:11 says, "Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee." Plant God's Word deep in your heart in order to think the right thoughts. Someone rightly said, "Plant a thought and reap a word. Plant a word and reap an action. Plant an action and reap a habit. Plant a habit and reap a character. Plant a character and reap a destiny." It all begins with that thought, does it not? Let's break the pattern this morning and look what the Apostle Paul is focusing on here. He's focusing on the positive. We're going to go back and look. He's gone through some things that maybe would tend to lean in a negative direction. But he's focusing on what is right, what is pure. You know, earlier in his letter to the Philippians, Paul does mention that some very negative things are going on in his life. We're going to look at three things this morning as we look at this new focus, and ask yourself the very question when we look at these three things: did this happen to me in 2015? Did I have to deal with some of this stuff this year? And I'll bet the biggest percentage will say, yes, I did, because these are very common things. Then think about next year. Will I deal with some of these things in 2016? And I bet the answer will be yes. So what makes the difference? How can I do anything differently next year than I did this year? And I think that's what Paul is sort of getting at. He first of all talks about some unpleasant circumstances. Go back to chapter 1 of Philippians and notice what he says there in verse 12. He begins by talking about these unpleasant circumstances. He says, "Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." You know, we think we have troubles, don't we? But how does this, or our list, compare with that of the Apostle Paul? How many times have I been shipwrecked? Or how many times have I been beaten near death because of what I believe? How many times have I been arrested and imprisoned and chained 24 hours a day because of what I believe or what I say? Paul's been in some pretty unpleasant circumstances. You know, if we look at the word advance here in verse 12, it's sort of an interesting word. The original Greek word was the word that was used for the woodcutters who would go on before an army, clearing the way through the underbrush so that the army could march forward unimpeded. And that's the Greek word for advance that we have in our English today. Paul says these negative things that are happening is causing the gospel to advance, to march forward unimpeded. I'm here clearing out the underbrush, so to speak. I'm in these unpleasant circumstances, but what am I going to do? Am I going to write to you and tell you how pitiful I am? Am I going to write to you and tell you how sorry you should feel for me? He said, no, I'm going to write and encourage you. The gospel's continuing on. Circumstances are unpleasant. But because of those, the gospel has advanced. Paul is saying, all these things that have happened to me have resulted in clearing the way so that the gospel may be preached more effectively. Notice there in verse 13, he says, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Now here's the situation. For 24 hours a day, Paul is chained to a Roman soldier, each serving about a six-hour shift. So every 6 hours, a new soldier comes in and chains himself to Paul. The soldier was doing his duty, making sure the prisoner wasn't going to escape. But what did Paul see here? Not the chains. He saw an opportunity, a wonderful opportunity to tell the soldier about Jesus. There was no way that the soldier could escape either. And it worked there in the closing of the chapter. In chapter 4 and verse 22, Paul writes, "All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household." So that the gospel was being shared. It was spreading, even through the unpleasant circumstances. There was even a second positive result there in chapter 1 and verse 14, back to chapter 1. "Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly." Paul is saying, because of my hardships, because of the things that have happened to me, other Christians have been encouraged. Unpleasant circumstances. Have you endured some in 2015? Sure you have. Will some come along next year? More than likely, yes. How do you handle those? There was an illustration in a book that was written by Bob Benson. The book was entitled "See You at the House." And he tells of a good friend of his who had had or suffered a severe heart attack, and he had almost died. But he was now well on the road to recovery. And while he was visiting with his friend, Bob asked, and his friend's name was Bill. He said, "Bill, how do you feel about your heart attack?" Bill answered, "I hate it. It nearly killed me. Bob asked, would you like to have another one? Certainly not. Would you recommend it for someone else? Absolutely not. Bob went on, Bill, now that you're feeling better, do you treasure your life more than before? Well, yes, I do. You and your wife have always had a good, solid marriage, but you're closer to each other now than before? Yes, Bill answered. And what about your relationship with God? Has that changed since your heart attack? The answer was, yes, I feel a whole lot closer to God now than I ever did before. Bob asked, Bill, in light of all of this, how do you feel about your heart attack now? Think about the circumstances that we go through, the trials, the tribulations, the pains that are endured here on this earth. How do we feel about that? Is it something that's brought us closer to God? Is it something that's brought us closer to one another? Paul said you're going to have some unpleasant circumstances. I'm going to ask a question this morning. What are you chained to this morning? Paul said, I'm chained to a soldier. We could ask, are we chained to our declining health? Are we chained to a job that has no future? Are we chained to loneliness, to grief, to despair? Then we need to stop and ask, how can God use this to advance the gospel? A second thing that Paul talks about here is unreasonable people. Now, husbands, don't sit there and nudge your wives and vice versa. We're not talking about that. Sometimes those that you live with the longest, you sometimes learn to deal with things. That's another lesson for another time. Dr. Criswell, after being married 50 years to his wife, said, sometimes I love her so much I could just eat her up. At other times I wish I had eaten her up. So it's not always easy. We realize that. But Paul's not talking about that. He's talking about people we come in contact with. Some that will try to harm us. Some that will try to hurt us in any way. He speaks of these unreasonable people there in verse 15. He says, it is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. And what Paul is saying is this, there are some people who are envious of me, who see themselves as rivals, as competitors in preaching the gospel. They're envious of me. They're not preaching for the right reason. They're not preaching to share Jesus, not preaching to show the good news, but maybe just simply to bring me down. What happens when people become envious of someone? They usually try to tear them down, don't they? They point out all of the negative things that they can about that person, thinking that by pulling them down, they're building themselves up. We'll begin seeing in this next year this in a terrible way in our nation as we look to elect our next president. What happens? You see the ads. They're all negative, are they not? Paul says sometimes you deal with unreasonable people. There in verse 18 of chapter 1, an incredible verse here, he says, but what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. So he says, really doesn't matter. There's some good things happening. I've dealt with some bad circumstances. I'm dealing with some unreasonable people. Yet Christ is being preached. And because of that, I rejoice. Because of that, I can look in a positive way. I can have that new focus. And then there's one other thing that Paul's dealing with here. And that's an uncertain future. Have you ever thought about that? Will that creep up in 2016? Will you say, I don't know exactly what's going to happen? I'm not sure where I'm headed. Maybe something has happened in your life that has really caused some doubt. And he mentions here in verse 19 of chapter 1, I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Here Paul is facing a trial in Rome. And if he's found innocent, he'll be freed to preach further. But if he's found guilty, he'll be executed. And he knew that he was either going to live or to die, depending on the results of that trial. And that brings us to that famous verse there, verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Do we really know what that verse means? Do we see it in the context here, where how Paul is using it? Familiar verse to each and every one. But if we're going to write that verse and truthfully describe our feelings this morning, what would it say? Let's be honest with ourselves. For me to live is money, and to die is to leave it behind. For me to live is family, and to die is to leave them alone. For me to live is pleasure, and to die is to miss all the fun. For me to live is fame, and to die is to be quickly forgotten. Or for me to live is power and influence, and to die is to become insignificant. How do we write that verse for our lives? You fill in the blank there. Paul simply said, for me to live is Christ. In my life, no matter what happens, the uncertain circumstances, the people that are unreasonable, the uncertain future, Christ is going to be advanced. His story is going to be advanced, and that's what I'm going to focus on. The Living Bible paraphrases it this way. To me, living means opportunity for Christ, and dying, that's even better. Opportunity for Christ and dying, that's even better. The story was once told by Kenneth Dodge of an 8-year-old boy named Frank. And Frank had a fishing date set up with his father to go fishing on Saturday. They were going to be there the whole day. And on Friday night, he had laid everything out and was ready to go. But on Saturday morning, he awoke to discover that it was raining. Just raining cats and dogs, and they couldn't go fishing. So he grumbled and griped, complaining all morning long. He kicked the furniture, he kicked the dog, he kicked the cat. Nothing was right. Why did it have to rain today, Dad? Well, Dad went on to explain that the rain helped the farmers and that they needed the rain and that would help the things here on this earth grow. Still, to no avail. Why did it have to rain today? Well, about noon, the clouds broke and the sun came out. His dad said, well, we can't go fishing all day, but we can fish this afternoon. So they jumped into the truck, they drove to the lake, fished all afternoon, catching more fish than they'd ever caught before. They came home and Mom cooked them for supper. And as they were sitting down to eat, Frank's dad looked at him and asked, would you ask the blessing? The 8-year-old prayed this prayer. God, if I sounded a little grumpy earlier today, it's because I couldn't see far enough ahead. Isn't that true? We sometimes don't see far enough ahead, do we? We become grumpy because of the circumstances, because of the people, because of not knowing the future. God, I'm sorry if I was grumpy earlier. I just didn't see far enough ahead. And that's the problem. We're so caught up in the circumstances that we don't look far enough down the road. When you take time to look, you'll begin to focus more and more on the positive. Because in Christ, we have a wonderful future, do we not? And that's what Paul was talking about. I have about 5 minutes left this morning. I want to just share with you 8 things. 8 very simple things. And think about this one day at a time. Daily joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, and we can rejoice because of His strength, His wisdom, His identity, His love, His purposes, His power, His truth, His ability to overcome temptations, His perspectives, His peace, His patience, His kindness, His gentleness, His faithfulness, His self-control, His plans for your life. The list could go on and on. Joy for the day. Daily patience. When our rights are yielded totally to the Lord, we are not apt to become irritated when things don't go our way. Where are your sights this morning? Where's your focus this morning? Daily trust. Remember what the song says? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We're familiar with that, but do we live it out? That brings us to daily prayer. In every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your requests known to God on a daily basis. How's your prayer life? How's it been in 2015? What could your new focus be for this next year? Daily reflection. Take time to contemplate the many ways that the Lord calms the stormy seas in your heart, your mind, and your relationships. Thank God specifically for the ways that He enables you to be an island of calm amidst the pressures of life's problems. another thing. This brings us right back to the verse that we started on this morning. A daily inventory of good things. How often do we get up in the morning thinking about everything that we don't have? Everything that we need to do that day because we just have so much going on. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. A daily reflection. A daily meditation. Fix your mind on these things. Take time to memorize, study, read, discuss, and pray through the promises of God. You know, without a consistent habit of scriptural meditation, we do not have the capacity in ourselves to live by the power of the Holy Spirit. We receive that through words, through God's Word, through the Holy Word. And that's a part of our life. Living, active. And then finally, daily application. Making consistent applications to the principles of Scripture and the life of Jesus Christ. And that cements, that will cement the stress reduction habits of a Christ-like perspective. You know, without an honest effort to be doers of the Word, we may fall into the trap of being mere hearers and deceive ourselves, like some we read of throughout Scripture. A new focus. For 2016, you may say, well, that's easy to say, and it is. That's why we go back to one day at a time, is it not? You know, we have a few days left here in 2015. We can be gearing in that direction. And not saying that we're going to make one sudden change overnight. The change is a daily thing. The focus, the refocus is a daily thing. What happens when you first get up of a morning? You open your eyes and they're a little bit blurry possibly from the night's sleep. But every morning you wipe away, you get that washcloth or whatever it takes. You refocus for that day. That's what we need to be doing as Christians. Paul encourages that. We look at that verse, chapter 4 and verse 8. And we know that verse, but do we look what brings him to that verse? That's what I wanted to share with you this morning. The circumstances, the people that you deal with. Sometimes just thinking, what about our future? Brings us down. Paul says it shouldn't. Here's the direction it should take you. Everything I do is to advance Christ. To speak of Christ. So where are you this morning? Where are you in your life this morning? You know where you sit. Where you are. You know your relationship. You know some of the things that you could be doing better, some of the things that you may want to try and refocus on in the days to come. I know when I look at that list, I have some that I need to work on as well. Sorry, Eric, I jumped one ahead there. But you know what our invitation song is, Trust and Obey. We're going to offer an invitation. This morning, you have that invitation that is open to you. It's open at any time. But right now is a very good time, a convenient time for you if you're ready and you haven't yet become a Christian. You've heard God's Word. Believe what you read, what you hear. Repent. It's kind of what we were talking about this morning, making some changes. That's a continual thing, being willing to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God and being baptized, coming up a new, forgiven individual. Most here in the audience this morning have taken that step. But maybe we can pray for you this morning in some way. If you're subject to that invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?